1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the show. We are approaching the end of the regular season for college basketball. It ends for high school tonight. We'll have a little more on that later. But let's get you caught up. Last night there were four games in Ohio Valley Conference play, and they all do affect the standings in one way or another. Let's take a look at what we got last night. The one we were focused on was Tennessee Martin against Eastern Illinois. If Eastern Illinois wins, the Racers with a one-game lead. If Eastern Illinois loses, then Martin ties the Racers for first place. And the Panthers had their chances. They were up 9 at the half. Martin chipped away, took the lead. Eastern Illinois took the lead back. And with 6/10 of a second, Eastern Illinois got a length of the floor pass and had a chance to hit a layup at the buzzer, and it clanged off. And in overtime, Martin, the victor, 87-84. Elsewhere, it was Morehead State, a 66-61 winner over Tennessee State. SIU Edwardsville down Southeast Missouri 72-69, and Belmont defeated Eastern Kentucky 86-78. The only things we know here are that Edwardsville and Southeast Missouri, they are out. They will not be in the tournament. We do not know about the other schools, however, and in fact, we know very little about how everything else works. But let's check the standings before we tell you about tomorrow's schedule in the Ohio Valley Conference. With the victory last night, Belmont moves a half game ahead of Tennessee Tech. The Bruins are 11-3. Tennessee Tech is 10-3. And Tennessee State, a costly loss to Morehead last night, they slip back to 9-4 in third place in the OVC East. Morehead, they're still hanging in there, really. Not out of the question that they could climb to the top, but probably not. Let's see, 10, 14, they have two games left, and yeah, they actually can't now that I look at it, because Belmont and Tennessee Tech neither can lose out because they play one another. So that can't happen. That means I think Morehead is safe. Belmont, if they win it, they're in pretty good shape. But anyhow, Morehead, they could end up in the top three there. They could also end up maybe close to the top. But they're in fourth place. Eastern Kentucky sits in fifth at 5-9. Jacksonville State is in the cellar at 4-9. Over in the West, Martin and Murray are deadlocked at 8-5. And remember, because of the head-to-head meeting, there's only been one of the two, Martin beating the Racers, they have the tiebreaker at the moment. Eastern Illinois is 7-7. Austin Peay 5-8. They're in fourth. Then Edwardsville 3-11. And SEMO at 2-12. Now let's take a look at games that will be on tap tomorrow night. And, of course, we'll give you a closer look at the Murray State-Austin Peay contest. But that's going to be one of the late ones. The early games finds Eastern Illinois at Southeast Missouri. A must-win situation for EIU. Tennessee Tech at Belmont. This is the game of the day. It's a 5 p.m. tip-off. So by the time that we tip off, or at least close to that, that one should be finished up. Tennessee Tech at Belmont. SIU Edwardsville playing at Tennessee Martin. And Jacksonville State is at Tennessee State. So Edwardsville capable of picking up wins. They've won some big games, but Martin is on a great roll, and you have to figure they will be the favorite. And if you're just looking at tomorrow's schedule, let's be brutally honest. You have the Racers against Austin Peay. That's on the road. And then you have Martin hosting Edwardsville. So at least the slight edge would have to go to UT Martin. They're on a roll. They're playing at home. For Austin Peay, they are playing at home against Murray State. And the Governors, when you take a look at their schedule, this is going to be, it's not their senior day. Their senior day will be the following Saturday against Southeast Missouri, but they go on the road next week to play Edwardsville and then take on Southeast Missouri. Now, the Governors are not in the tournament yet, but they could take a huge step. They were tied with Eastern Kentucky heading into last night. And with EKU's loss, if Austin Peay can win, that'll put them a game up on Eastern Kentucky. They can't tie with EKU because they will lose the tiebreaker with Eastern Kentucky's victory over Austin Peay. But if they can get ahead of them, well, you see the gist. That's why this is huge for Austin Peay. Now, it doesn't mean they won't get in the tournament anyway, but it means they must finish ahead of Eastern Kentucky in order to make that happen. Now, the last time, we all know what happened. The Racers taking on the Governors. Murray State leading most of the way. Got off to a great start. Had a double-digit lead for a good portion of the contest. And it was just one that in the second half, you never felt the Racers had any great chance to lose it. But they did. Losing, a 7-point lead over the last 5 minutes or so of the game. The Racers turned it over three times in the final 41 seconds. And that was their undoing. Now, as Matt McMahon said, and he's 100% right on this, you can look at those three turnovers and go, oh my, but it was all the other turnovers too. They had way too many in the game. I realize those are impactful, but the turnovers early in the game, hey, those were chances that the Racers had just as much as the ones at the conclusion of the contest. And that's been a big culprit for this team. Now, last time out it wasn't. Only 8 turnovers last game out, but 14, 15, 16 turnovers, and many of those just really trying to make crazy passes, doing things where they don't need to be taking those kind of a chances. And it's a team that has the thin margin of error anyway, so they can ill afford too many turnovers. They have to keep the turnovers low. They've been rebounding very well since a really poor start on the boards early in the season. The Racers have turned into one of the better rebounding teams in the league, and after shooting poorly to start the season, the Racers now one of the better shooting teams in the OVC, especially from three-point range. In league play, they've been really good. Will that be able to carry over on the road at Austin Peay? We shall see. The thing that Austin Peay has, they have two terrific scores, and the Racers didn't corral either of them last time out, as Chris Horton and Josh Robinson combined for 50 points. They can't do that. If they do that tomorrow, then the Racers will have a very difficult time winning. Horton is a walking double-double, 18.7 points, 12.2 rebounds per game. Josh Robinson, 16.2 points per game, deadly at the charity stripe at 87%. This isn't a team that you can take lightly from the three-point line either, as they do have Zach Glotta. He hit that big three-pointer for the Governors that helped them pick up that win. He's at 39%. Josh Robinson, 34%. Kenny Jones, 36%. And they do bring Chris Porter Bunton off the bench, who hits 44%. Overall, they only shoot 33% from three range, and they are three-point challenged defensively, sort of like the Racers are. They give up 38%. The Racers give up 36%. They make 45% of their shots from the field but give up 46%. And traditionally, they're not a good free throw shooting team. But, hey, if you send Josh Robinson to the line for the most of the night, then they're pretty good. He can hit them in a really nice clip. They're a team that from terms of how many guys they play, they're deeper than the Racers. They can bring Terrell Thompson off the bench, Jared Savage, Chris Porter Bunton, and John Murray. So they go 9 deep with guys that really do play, and the Racers really playing only 7 right now. That's about all they're getting any significant amounts of action for the Racers. Austin Peay averaging 74.7 points per game, but they're giving up 75.8. And the Racers, number one in the league in OVC games, giving up only 67.5 a game during all games, but they are number one, a little bit better than that in OVC games. Murray scoring at 70.7 points per contest, and the Racers come in at 71%. Wayne Langston still leading the Racers in scoring, 13.8 points per game. Jeffrey Moss, 13.3, and Bryce Jones has been coming off the bench with 12.3 points per contest. Will that happen tomorrow? We shall see. G. McGee, 9.5 points per game. Will he come off the bench again? We'll see. At a career high, 23 points off the bench. Matt McMahon admitted after the game he was a little bit under the weather, but you would have never known it. It was fantastic. Justin Seymour also, he is locked in right now. He has his three-point shooting percentage up to 39%. For the season. Now, that's remarkable when you consider that Justin was really struggling out of the gate, had more bad games than good, but he's really locked in. The guy, he's one of the solid players right now for the Racers. He's playing, I think, as well as he can play defensively, about as well as he can play offensively, and you're getting a really good performance from Justin Seymour. The Racers, though, they have to stay out of foul trouble, can't turn it over too much. If they could do those things, they have a great chance of leaving Dave Aaron Arena with a victory. The Govs 12-16, they're 5-8 in the OVC. Murray State 14-12, 8-5. This game tips off at 6:30. Now, by the way, we need you there for the women as well. They tip off at 4. They can punch their ticket to the OVC tournament if they can beat Austin Peay. That would give them the tiebreaker over the Governors, and the Governors couldn't catch them. And that's really what the Racers need to clinch their spot in the tournament. So they tip off at 4 o'clock. They're on a 4-game winning streak. This ought to be a fun night. Both games, by the way, air on Froggy 103.7. Let's take a look at the rest of college basketball. It was Jamal Murray with 28 points, and Derek Willis showed out 7 three-pointers for a career-high 25 as 14th-ranked Kentucky beat Tennessee 80-70 at Rupp Arena. That's the Cats' fourth straight victory 16 days after they blew a 21-point lead in that loss to Knoxville. Kentucky now all alone in first place in the SEC, a game up on LSU. They're 20-6 overall, 10-3 in the SEC. The Cats will play Texas A&M tomorrow. Texas A&M in UK, that one is at College Station. It's a 5:30 game. We're on the air with it at 5-15 on WNBS. It's part of our Westwood One basketball coverage. Also from Compass Media Networks tomorrow, we'll bring in the Louisville Duke game. That's an 11 a.m. tip-off, and our airtime will be at 10:45 on Saturday morning. By the way, if you're a Kentucky basketball fan or a football fan, if you like UK, we're bringing more UK coverage to the station with one show, and that is Kentucky Sports Radio. It will be debuting on February the 29th in its all-new time slot. What's happening with Travis Turner? He goes to afternoon drive. Travis will be on from 3 until 5 o'clock. And we have a new show. They contacted us, listened to it, kind of like it. It's called Big Biz Radio. And it's the strangest business show I've ever heard. It's an hour. They have a comedian and a business guy, and they're pretty funny. So that's from 2 to 3. So Jim Rome stays. Hate to see Dan Patrick go, but Dan is out of the lineup, and we certainly wish him well. Big fan of Dan Patrick as well. But our new lineup will be Kentucky Sports Radio 9 to 11. Jim Rome stays 11 to 2. Big Biz Radio from 2 to 3. Travis from 3 to 5. You're wondering, well, what about when there's Cardinal games or NCAA tournament coverage? It's no problem, as you'll flip over to WOFC, and it's still in the same 3 to 5 time slot over there. For the time being. All right, let's take a look at the basketball scores that we do have from last night of regional interest. Western Kentucky, they're now, that's three straight losses for the Toppers as they lose to Old Dominion by a score of 59-56. It's certainly been a disappointing season for WKU, and this is one I don't think anybody saw coming for them. I mean, for the Racers, look, you knew they lost four starters, probably going to struggle at times this season. But for Western Kentucky, right now they're 4-9, 12-14, a losing year there in Hilltopper country. They're not used to many of those. Tulsa beating Cincinnati in overtime 70-68 last night, and Wichita State clobbered Missouri State 99-68. Florida Gulf Coast knocked off Lipscomb 82-67. Chattanooga an 85-59 winner over VMI, and Georgia Southern down Arkansas State 90-59. East Tennessee a 67-51 winner over Citadel. And that's all of the regional sports scores. Today, let's check some high school hoops. Today, we learned from the Kentucky Lions Eye Foundation the candidates for Kentucky's 2016 Mr. and Miss Basketball. And here on the boys' side, James Boone, one of 16 candidates. How about that? James Boone, one of 16 Mr. Basketball candidates. Plays at Murray High. He's injured right now. Not sure if he will play tonight. I was listening to Travis's show earlier this morning. He had Bart Fleener on. Just from the sound of, I don't think directly said that he would not play, but seemed to indicate that probably not going to see him tonight. Absolutely no reason to risk him against Carlisle County in the finale, and that will give him some extra time off to heal the knee. The next time Murray will play after tonight will be next Thursday. So they're still in pretty good shape. And James Boone, again, one of 16 candidates. So our congratulations to James Boone. And then McCracken County's Maddie Rice, one of 16 candidates on the girls' side. Of course, she plays for former Racer and former Callaway County coach, who is her head coach now, Scott Sibbles. The male and female senior with the most votes from the final ballot will be named Mr. and Miss Basketball at the awards ceremony March 15th in Lexington. High school scores last night. Christian County and the AP poll, they're number one in the state. They beat Marshall County 55-43. Dawson Springs, 68. Christian Fellowship, 49. Fulton County, 62. Ballard Memorial, 58. McCracken County, a 69-54 winner over Caro. Trigg County, 84. Fort Campbell, 48. Caldwell County, 67. Crittenden County, 27. Hopkins Central over Lyon County, 52-38. In girls' action, Ballard Memorial, 60. Fulton County, 44. Hopkins Central, 54. Lyon County, 48. McCracken County, 67. Mayfield, 43. Todd beat Caldwell, 50-48. Now, all four of our local high school teams close out the regular season tonight. Callaway County will be hosting Ballard Memorial in a girls-boys doubleheader at Jeffrey Gymnasium. And Murray High travels to Carlisle County for a girls-boys twin bill. Tiger and Lady Tiger basketball coverage begins tonight at 5:30 on WNBS and 1340 WNBS.com. Murray High's boys and girls clinch the top seeds in next week's 4th District Tournament at Callaway County High School. Play begins Tuesday with Callaway County and Marshall County playing girls and boys first round elimination games. The winners of each game will face Murray High in Thursday's championship games. You can hear every tournament game on 1340 WNBS. Travis Turner, of course, will have the call on all of those. Other games tonight, Community Christian is at Fulton City, Mayfield at Hickman County, Fulton County at Graves County, and Crittenden County will be playing at Fort Campbell. One girls game tonight, Christian Fellowship takes on Heritage Academy. That's in the KCAC tournament. Murray State baseball team will open the season with a three-game series in the Sunshine State. Murray facing off with Bethune-Cookman. They finished 16-40 last year. The Racers in their second season under head coach Kevin Mulder. The weekend series will be the first ever matchup between the Racers and Wildcats. It's also the first matchup all time for Murray State against a school from the MEAC. The Racers feature 22 new players on this year's roster, 9 of which are freshmen, 13 are transfers. MSU will also have a new face in the dugout as Grayson Crawford joins the coaching staff as a volunteer assistant in 2016. The 2-2 Murray State softball team returns to action Saturday and Sunday in the Hilltopper Inn Holiday. The Holiday Inn Hilltopper Classic. That's a tongue tangler, huh? Hosted by Western Kentucky. While in Bowling Green, the Racers will do battle with Missouri State, Austin Peay, and the host school, the Hilltoppers. Jocelyn Rogers leads MSU with a .600 average through four games, while Mason Robinson leads the pitchers with a 2-1 mark and a .320. Earned run average. Spring training underway for the Cardinals in Florida. Pitchers and catchers had their first official workout yesterday. Hall of Famer Red Shandies missed his first spring training since 1945 for health reasons. That was last year, but he's back with the team this spring. So good to see Red back. One of my all-time favorites. Recently, over the last few years, said if I could sit down and share a meal and listen to stories from anyone, it would be Red Shandies. Think of all the years and all the stories that he would have to tell. He would be fantastic, and he is one of the great Cardinals, and really, really enjoy Red. The Memphis Grizzlies back from the All-Star break. They host the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight at FedEx Forum. Memphis 31-22 on the year. And the Clippers shipping guard Lance Stephenson to the Grizzlies for forward Jeff Green. The Grizzlies also receive a future first-round pick in exchange. The 25-year-old Stephenson averages 4.7 points, 2.5 rebounds a game for LA this season. The 29-year-old Green averaging 12.2 points and 4.5 rebounds a game for Memphis. All right, that has us all caught up. We hope you have a great weekend. Lots of Racer basketball, lots of high school basketball. Support your favorite teams. We'll be back here on Monday for another show on 1340 WNBS.